Hello and welcome to Over Under Achievers. I am one of your hosts, Don Spokoy, and joining me as always, he's on the shortlist for RFK Jr.'s vice president. It's Jason Waterfalls. Congratulations, buddy. I don't know if that's a congratulations, but, you know, it's probably just an honor to be considered.
I used to be considered to be looking like Aaron Rodgers, then I got follically challenged, but in my younger, thinner days, there were side-by-sides that looked similar, but that was actually Aaron Rodgers. That is not your boy.
That we know of yet. Let me finish. Yet. We don't know. Would you accept it? Yes or no? Answer the question.
If he doesn't play and go do this vice president thing, then he's a coward. You have to do both. That's what makes it interesting. It's not interesting if the vice president used to have a different job. It's very interesting if the vice president is the quarterback of the New York Jets. As much as we talk about Aaron Rodgers, and it's a lightning rod for everybody, I am all in on this story. I want him to be vice president of the United States if he continues to play.
First of all, lightning Rodgers for Aaron Rodgers. I feel like that was the missed opportunity
right there.
I love this point, and I want to go back. I don't want to go back in like a let's make America great again way. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying I like when people had multiple jobs.
That was weird that you said what you don't want to do. Very specifically.
I heard when I was like, I want to go back to when, and I was like, woof, is Knox weird? Yeah, but like not in that way. I just, back in the day, like someone was like, I'm your pastor and I'm also the plumber. And that was fine. We specialized all the jobs, right? Like the Apostle Paul made tents and then like did a little preaching on the side. Let's get back to that. So I like the idea of, yeah, I do play quarterback for the New York Jets. And yeah, I am like the diplomatic attaché for, I don't know, Bolivia or something. I don't know what the vice president does. I think that'd be hilarious. I think that'd be awesome. And it would fly exactly in the face of his, I don't know if it was a tweet or an interview where he was like, we got to keep football the main thing. We're so distracted with all these other things all the time.
Yes, so good. I mean, so many different things can happen here. That's also interesting. I didn't even think about like, isn't the owner of the Jets, his name's not Howie, but isn't
Woody
he like
Johnson.
The... Woody Johnson, wasn't he ambassador,
wasn't he ambassador to,
Ireland? To
Ireland? I think, but that was under, I want to say that was under Biden or Obama, I think. I don't know what he is now. He's not a good
owner.
I'm
just saying that that owner of that would allow that to happen. There's a guy that was doing two things.
Yeah, but see, he was like, I'm not going to be the football owner because I'm the ambassador to Ireland. And I know I'm going to sound ignorant. What does Ireland need ambassadoring about? That is so like, I'm 9 to 5 clocking in, baby, going into the coal mines of ambassadorship.
I think if we start breaking down politics and jobs and what and who does what, we're not going to end in a place that we're going to be happy about.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
To your point, I know people are like, that would be super annoying if Aaron Rodgers was the vice president. It would. It also kind of be hilarious. It just would.
Hilarious. But if he keeps playing when he is the sitting vice president,
yeah,
America's the greatest country in the world.
No question. Patrick about Mahomes. It. What are you doing about this now? You know,
thank you. That is like a real argument now.
I mean, look, since we're talking about quarterbacks and incursions into politics, I'm at the very same time where I'm like, it would be hilarious if Aaron Rodgers was playing football and the vice president of the United States of America. I don't want to comment on the Joe Burrow situation because Jason, I'm asking you honestly, what is the line between I am here and there's a famous person, I take a picture with them? Does that necessarily correlate to this? I support this political ideology, or is it just I have weird drug dealer matrix glasses on and maybe I'm high and maybe we're taking a picture? I don't know. I'm asking.
Joe Burrow did not do all of the stuff that Nick Bosa did after those pictures were taken with Trump.
Okay. Okay.
So let's just end that there.
Okay.
So he didn't go all the way.
To be clear, I don't care. Take pictures with whoever.
Correct.
I just don't want to have to think about it.
I'm just going to bring it up. Okay. I am going to bring this up. The hair is always very wet. Some may say greasy. Yeah. I'll say shiny. We can all agree it's very shiny. I don't know if that's the best look. In my opinion, his body, his choice, absolutely.
Yeah.
His sunglasses, his choice. This might be where I have to take a stance. I don't know that I am his sunglasses, his choice with Joe Burrow anymore.
I'm not.
I think it's officially a problem. And this is the first time on the show that I am saying I might be against his sunglasses, his choice.
his fashion has always been a problem, but it's been so avant-garde that people are like, yes. Whoa, he must be doing something we don't even know about. No, he's just got bad taste, evidently.
Or great taste, because I don't know fashion.
No. We have to start saying things that are true. And he
okay, but that's what I'm saying. I don't know all of fashion.
I don't either, but I know what it is when it's not good, and that's what it looked like.
I'm out on the glasses every time, all the time.
The guy standing 3 feet behind Keanu Reeves, that Agent Smith ices immediately, right? No putback, no fight, no anything.
It makes him look like a backup quarterback. I mean, like, essentially, that's what you just said with the Keanu thing with Neo.
How dare you say it makes him look like a backup quarterback? Backup quarterbacks are cool. They don't look like that. They look way better than that.
But they don't play. Those glasses that he's constantly wearing, various glasses for the record, but these small, your word, avant-garde, nobody can get mad at me because you said it, glasses that he wears don't have star quarterback in the NFL vibes. I'm a cool fun guy that doesn't get on the field vibes.
I'm in Dave's entourage on the television show Dave, but I'm not cool like the other guys are.
Great show, by the way.
A good time. Great show. I told my
brother he really had to watch that show. Just kidding. It's the other
I would say Uncle Baby Billy Davis. What is his name?
Baby Billy Bayless.
Baby Bill Bayless. Thank you. And this is everybody. Skip episode 3. If episode 3 is a sex doll, skip that one. You don't need that one.
You don't need it. I think that you might, if you have gentle sensibilities, this might not be the show for you. That being said, watch them all, because it's a lot going on, and boom, like Joe Burrow's hair and sunglasses, it's art, right? At some point, it's art.
Watch them all, not episode 3, if that's the sex doll one. Don't watch that one.
It was a lot.
That's a tough one. We need to make a list of like episodes you don't need to watch, and it's Black Mirror, the one with the British Prime Minister and the pig. Don't watch that one. Dave, the sex doll one. Don't watch that one. There's a big list that we could put together. Joe Burrow has started, his hair is tipping into the point of like, is it gel product or grease? And I think he always had the benefit of the doubt that it wasn't grease, but I'm wondering now, is it grease? You know,
it's the glasses that make it think that it's grease. And guess what? We had another lice situation in the house because my daughter's hair is too clean, and that's what lice like. And I am so sick of lice. I'm not going to do this entire rant again, but I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm so f***ing sick of lice. I'm not even kidding, man. I am so f***ing sick of lice.
Let's just go here for a second. Because
that being said, Joe Burrow's probably never going to get lice because his hair is so greasy, or it's EVOO. Maybe it's some kind of avocado oil. Like, I'm actually more interested in his hair than a lot of other things in Joe Burrow. This might save him, but I might be out on his glasses, his choice, but it's his hair.
If lice got into his hair, it would be like Augustus Gloop in the chocolate factory. Just like, it's very heavy, syrupy. You're not swimming out of that. You're stuck. You're caught. I do want to have a conversation about lice. And I feel like back in my day when I was at school, there was one lice outbreak per generation. I'm getting emails that like entire grades have been wiped out. And I'm not like, we're not at like Harvard over here. We're also like it's a decent school, right? It shouldn't be happening, but we're getting it on the regular. And I don't know if this is like antibiotic resistant lice. I don't know if the lice are a psychological operation. I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but there's just a lot of lice right now these days.
It's because maybe people's hair are cleaner. We used to think, and I know we've done this before, but we used to think that lice was because of the dirty kid in class. No, lice likes clean hair. They thrive.
Tell if this is an elaborate spin zone by you, and if it is, kudos. I'm so impressed with it.
It's not an elaborate spin zone. Legitimate. I'm not kidding. I was up for like 4 hours changing beds and doing all this stuff last night because we found it right at bedtime. You're gonna set me off right now. So lice.
Yeah.
I'd like to move on.
I would just say to put a pin on this.
See? Okay.
Aaron Rodgers, if you do become vice president of the United States.
Okay, here we go.
If you want to get some people on your side, you need to start dealing with the lice problem, or you need to be like, if a parent discovers a lice problem for a child, they get a full week off of work to deal with it, paid with benefits, whatever. I don't know. Like, I'm not a business person.
And our freaking school district doesn't send any emails, so it just keeps going on. And I'm sure there's lots of other people, because you're not supposed to talk about it because it's a medical thing, that don't know that their kids might still be having it going on. So it doesn't get resolved. Anyways,
Jason, I would ask you what's good. You've dropped 2 F-bombs in 3 minutes. I feel like I don't feel like it's the vibe, I feel like it's the steroids. Verify.
Am I on steroids? Yes, but I feel incredible. Is it the steroids? Who's to say? We'll find out next week when I probably go off the steroids because of my virus, upper light respiratory, upper viral infection. That's a virus that we don't know which one it is. Good luck here, sure. Meds. But they worked. I feel incredible. But I feel like there might be a crash coming, man. And if that crash comes, what do we do? What do we do at that point? This is like, rest it up for a long time, or
just shut it down, man. Just shut it down. And for listeners, for context, you are. We talked about your new job. Like you've taken on some new responsibilities. You're in a muscle man competition. Like you're weightlifting. That's what the steroids are about. They're cool steroids. They're not like anabolic. So
I think about weightlifting when I'm on these steroids. I'll tell you that. So many like skin problems. Everything is cleaning up. Like, is this why people do steroids? They're incredible.
Maybe. From what I understood, you get back knee with steroids. So that was like, for those reasons, I'm out. You know,
I mean, these are not like also, shot just, in my butt not, steroids. No back knee though. So I'm liking these steroids.
That's good. That's good. I enjoy medical professionals listening to this and being like, you bozos, there's not one steroid to rule
well,
them all.
between the lice, the light upper respiratory thing, and the steroids, ooh, I think
are
medical
the lice
professionals.
On steroids. That's why they're so relentless these days.
Thank you.
Maybe. They could be. Well, we've got some NFL free agency we want to talk about. We want to talk about traders, season two finale. Before we do that, I just want to remind everybody that we are recapping Survivor season 46. We actually just recorded the recap for episode 3. That'll go up Friday, depending on when you're listening to this. It's a great season, great cast, a lot of drama, a lot of hijinks. If you like Survivor, I recommend you supporting the newsletter, the podcast, the monthly or yearly level, so you can participate in that. Or if you just are like looking for a new reality show to watch and want to listen along as we go, I think this is a great opportunity. So just go to the Substack, knoxmccoy.substack.com, support it up, and you can join in there. Jason, I want to ask you, you know, we can do like an all skate here. We can do however you want to handle it. We've had some NFL free agency moves. I really just kind of want to talk through some of them. And like you just tell me overachieving, underachieving. I think we should start with Kirk Cousins to the Falcons. Are you overachieving or underachieving that?
Now remember, his wife's from Atlanta. You have to remember that.
Somebody said that. Somebody told me that. And that was the whole reason that he moved to Atlanta. LOL. Maybe it was. Honestly, I hope it was.
For him, on the field, goofballness aside, I do like him. I think this is an overachieving move. We've got Bijan, you got Kyle Pitts, you got Drake London. Like, why would a quarterback not want to be in Atlanta? Why would you not want to sign for this much guaranteed money? How he keeps doing it and who his agent is and how they're pulling this off, I don't know. We can get into that if you'd like, but I'm more thinking the X and O's, just kidding, on the field. I like this move for him. I think this is a smart move.
I've heard some people kind of dissing it for both. I kind of love it because, look, you're not going to get Josh Allen in free agency. It's not going to happen. Maybe you'll draft that person, but it's going to take a few years. If you can't do any of those, either of those things, it's not a bad idea to get the best mid quarterback of all and surround him with a lot of talent. Now he's coming off Achilles. That could be interesting and complicated.
That's the interesting part for sure. That is
but
not nothing.
I would
he's
counter,
35 years old or whatever.
I would counter that with, he's in the NFC South and you got to beat Baker in Tampa and they're not a juggernaut. So you got a really good chance to win the division, be in the playoffs. If you just get some capable, competent man, like, I don't know what Desmond Ridder's life plan is, but nobody did him dirty because it's just like what he did. But the elegant montage of like the Succession music of him throwing picks and interceptions, that man, that was tough to watch. Honestly,
I didn't see that one. I'll have to look for that one because that sounds good. I think here's the deal. Let's not worry about the money for a second because all of these contracts are fake or real money. Who cares? They're all making a lot of money. Good for them. They all deserve blah, blah, blah. If you're Atlanta, Desmond Ridder wasn't it. Taylor Heineke wasn't it, right? I think that, you know, that's, did they get enough time to actually prove it? Who knows?
They did.
The
and
other,
they couldn't do it.
The other name that Atlanta was seriously considering was Justin Fields. I like Justin Fields. Kirk Cousins is better than Justin Fields.
Oh, yeah.
So how is anybody like, oh, we really wanted Justin Fields. That was the future. We don't know if Justin Fields is good or not. I'm a little bit higher on him than most are, but I think Kirk's going to come in there with those weapons and be exactly what they need. And, you know, we try not to say game manager, but he's a game manager plus, whatever, right? So, like, this is a good move. This is overachieving for me, for the Falcons.
I'm loving it. I might go to a game, man. I might go see them at the at Megatron's butthole because I want to see how this shakes out. I feel like Kyle Pitts is so hyped. I haven't seen him so excited in forever. He's like, finally, someone can hit me in the hands with a ball in the air. Can we talk about Kirk's former team, the Vikings, and the trade they just orchestrated with your question mark Texans?
Not my Texans. Move up? Not okay, my Texans.
I'm just, I'm offering you the opportunity to let it be your Texans if you want to.
It's
not formally, but it could be now. Is there any, like, you know, you're not with the Texans, but you did shoot him like a Facebook message and was like, hey, so great to see you're doing well.
Are you done? Know? Let me know.
I'm just asking. I'm asking. I just want to know where we're at.
What was the trade? I don't know that I saw this. What was it?
It was the Vikings moved up to 23.
Oh, the Texans pick, yeah.
And the Texans moved back and got like a buku of picks.
They just traded like some second rounders and fifth rounders or something. Like, that was a very weird trade. I don't know what that was for and why it had to be done now. Why wouldn't you wait?
According to the internet,
draft
the internet is telling me, not my sources, just the internet, that the Vikings are trying to get to three to get Drake May. That's the whole point of all this.
Oh, so they've got a stockpile to give the Patriots what they want.
Or the Commanders, I guess, but I'm assuming the Patriots.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. I thought you were going to bring up the Vikings and talk about the underachieving signing of Sam Darnold. Because you're telling me that Justin Jefferson just went from Kirk Cousins to Sam Darnold. I'm going to tell you right now, that's a downgrade. And I don't know who Sam Darnold is going to be in a quarterback battle with. It's not Kellen Mond, probably, in Minnesota. I think Sam Darnold's going to lose that quarterback battle within the first couple of weeks of the season. So,
especially if he's competing against Drake May.
Well, especially if they end up getting up there to get who they're looking for,
I mean, to me, if the Vikings have pulled the trigger on this deal, that tells me the Patriots are like, yeah, we'll do it. This is what we're looking for and wanting. I don't know.
There's got to be another piece. Otherwise, why do you do this early?
To go ahead and just get the third pick so no one else snoops in or swoops in and gets it from you.
But that's what I'm saying. There's got to be a second part to doing the Minnesota-Houston trade. Somebody's got to have already kind of agreed to something, or they're in the final working pieces of it. Because otherwise, why do you switch those picks? I just don't see it.
If we move even further and say this is about the Patriots, I don't know what you're doing if you're the Patriots. If you're like, I know, get a lot of lottery tickets, take a lot of draft capital or whatever, but like sometimes just take a good quarterback and just like make it simple.
Yeah.
And if this leads to the Patriots drafting JJ McCarthy, I will laugh so hard I will die probably. And that's a promise. That is a promise to you. You, Jason, and you, the listener. I will laugh myself to death because that's absurd.
Just circling back real quick. Did you know that Desmond Ridder was traded to the Cardinals?
I didn't. That's hilarious.
Apparently that happened at some point. So you've got Kyler and then backed up by Desmond Ridder.
Here's the only way I'm good with that. If in the contract terms, Arizona was like, you are not here to play quarterback. You are here to be Farnsworth Bentley to Kyler on the field and off the field. And that is the only existence.
Purdue's own Rondale Moore was in that trade and is now with the Falcons. I like this for Kirk even more.
Look at that. I'm excited for everybody. I'm excited for trades. I can't wait. Can I ask you if you're excited for Saquon Barkley to the Eagles?
I'm going to say overachieving, but it's close. It's the barely over. I don't know why everybody's crapping on this. Like, there's 30 million more in the cap. Don't really care about numbers. I'm salary cap crap here, but give it a shot. Why not?
You know, I saw some
Do
people
thinking
for the
done?
Money.
Do you think Barkley's done?
No, I am. He's gotten a lot of touches the last couple of years. I do like it's a routine and a habit for me. At the beginning of the year, I place an under on all Saquon Barkley's totals because he's always going to get injured, and it always pays off. That's interesting, but it is, you know, you go from a decent running back to a very dynamic one. That's an interesting proposition. But when I looked at the Eagles, I wasn't like, oh, the problem is they need a more dynamic running back. It was the defense and like their secondary. But if the money's not there to spend, you know, I'm okay with it. You know, you just get really good in the backfield and on offense maybe.
Yeah. So I'm going to go overachieving on that one, but it's not like I'm not as sold on that, like being the greatest thing. I think Saquon's good. I think he's solid. It's not the biggest contract in the world. It's a running back contract. It is what it is. So why not? Like, you got to put somebody back there and if they can run, then they've got the weapons on the outside to throw around a little bit. So I really liked it. I think it's completely fine.
I want to go to another running back signing, but before I do that, I want to ask you about, do you have any feelings as a Indianapolis resident? Do you have any lamentations about Gardner Minshew going to Las Vegas?
So it was kind of sad that Gardner left as quickly as that happened, and I don't know what the real story is. But then, on the heels, Joe Flacco, if Anthony Richardson, who is, I think, fun to watch for the, what, two games he played?
Yeah.
If he gets hurt, it's Joe Flacco time. And if Joe Flacco does for the city of Indianapolis what he did for the city of Cleveland last year, that's going to be fun. So it's sad to see Gardner go because he was fun in interviews and all this. But I think Gardner's ceiling is much lower than Joe Flacco even now's ceiling.
Absurd.
Especially in the fun realm. So I'm very excited for that. Like, just
erroneous on all counts from what you just said.
Oh,
I can't believe you. You need to lament this. Gardner Minshew is the best. I watched his introductory press conference when a beat reporter was like, because they had the fame, him and Max Crosby had the exchange.
Yeah.
Of,
little boy.
You're going to have to bleep this. When Max Crosby kept calling everyone on the Colts little boy.
Yeah. And
the cut up of Gardner Minshew explaining that to people on the sideline is hilarious. And he just seems like the coolest stoner to ever live, honestly, and especially playing the NFL. And I think you're really going to miss him there, honestly.
I, you know, that's fair. I hear you. I get it. But there's a limitation to that. Like, it's a plateau of funness with Gardner.
Okay. That's fair.
There's no spike of like the greatest throw touchdown of all time, like what Flacco did. And then maybe Anthony Richardson's going to be healthy all year and play.
Don't say that.
Well, he probably won't. But if he is, then you don't get any Gardner because Gardner as a backup just goes away versus Flacco on the sideline, falling asleep. Flacco is more fun, Philip Rivers. And now all of a sudden, and I'm here for it. I need
a little bit more fire from Joe to get on the Phil Rivers.
He doesn't have the energy for it. He's too old. He's got too many kids. Whatever it is, like the pension's kicking in. I don't know what it is, but Sleepy Joe, they call him. I think that's what they're referencing.
Only him. That's
big
right.
Political show today.
My favorite part about Joe Flacco is it's less and less am I able to watch sports and be like, oh, I identify with that person. But Joe Flacco might be the only one left.
Right.
Where I'm like, I identify with that. I'm not like, I can't throw like he does, but like, I'm really tired like he is. But I think it's a good point of like, because Anthony Richardson is your quarterback, it's too much Gardner and no one needs too much Gardner.
Right.
So you got to get him out of there. I will also say Gardner Minshew would never be caught dead as a backup quarterback wearing the sunglasses Joe Burrow was wearing, to your point from earlier. Okay.
Thank you. I agree. That's, you know, promise. Who would be though? Your favorite, backup. your greatest quarterback of all times, new backup quarterback. Trevor Lawrence is now backed up by one Mac Jones.
That's tough. That's really tough.
That is a tough look in Jacksonville.
But there's a world where that plays out where they can filter out all the Vietnam flashbacks that Mac has, and he's just like a good backup, right? Because he's been in like
no chance. That guy
before.
Sucks.
They've
been doing like, the same thing that they did to Kirk's wife. They're like, you do know that Mac's from Jacksonville, right? Duval area. It's like, is that? That's the benefit here. That's the good thing.
Maxonville. Let's go. Let's do that. I mentioned another running back, Derrick Henry to the Ravens. Overachieving, underachieving for you.
I'm going to have to go 3 for 3 overachieving. It's a fit. Mm. Here's all I care about. Derrick Henry in the All Blacks. That's why it's overachieving.
Oh my gosh. It's so good.
He's still, you know, he puts out workout videos. He's so huge. He's so strong. I don't know that he's the best running back on the planet anymore. When he's got those All Blacks on, it's going to look awesome. Lamar's going to be super fast. He's going to be not super fast, but he is going to be strong and maybe gain a yard and a half, but he's going to look awesome in those All Blacks.
It's a great point too, because not only is he just going to objectively look awesome in the All Blacks, he's going from a team who, I don't know if we all agree that they have the worst uniforms in the NFL, but to go from like a very uncohesive, mucked up color scheme to just an iconic color scheme, I can't wait for. I really actually like legitimately think this is a good football move because, I mean, you know, he's a little older. He's a competent running back. I think Lamar and his speed and the way he stretches the field out is going to open the field up for Derrick Henry in a way he's maybe never had because of the parade of like underachieving white quarterbacks in his life. I think this might be like a really, a really important thing when it comes. I don't know if teams are looking at the Chiefs and they're like, how do we beat the Chiefs? Well, I think we're going to have to run the ball and keep them off the field. And that's the only way we can beat the Chiefs, because it's interesting to see the Eagles, the Ravens, these like really contending teams make specific core running back choices in this free agency.
And why we love Todd Monken. Why the heck in that playoff game did the Ravens not run the entire game? And hopefully this is a double down that they're going to right that ship. Cause that,
yeah,
I love the Bills. It might be the Ravens running nonstop to be the only thing that can stop the Chiefs.
Speaking of the Bills,
you want, let's just get this out. And then
we are
going to make a decision on how much we're going to talk about this season. Okay.
Okay.
It's going to be two topics, this, and I want you to get it out of your system the whole way.
Okay.
And Aaron Rodgers as the sitting vice president of the United States and the starting quarterback for the New York Jets. Those are the two topics that we've got to pick our times that we talk about it. We can't do it all the time.
Counterpoint. If Aaron Rodgers does become the sitting vice president and plays quarterback, I'm spinning off this into a different podcast. We're going to do two. We're going to discuss policy.
I'm in.
We're going to discuss playbook, the whole thing.
All right, go ahead. Let's hear
I'm
it.
Just asking. I know they lost a lot of people. Are you still feeling cool?
I thought you were going to bring up Mitch.
Look, he's a backup, right? The heart wants what it wants. It's a weird dovetailing of your two greatest passions, Josh Allen and Mitch Trubisky. I don't want to hold that against you. I want to encourage you. I want to support you. You know,
this couldn't be going worse for me, because if you're doing the soft launch right now, I know what's coming later. He's going to get in a game because Josh tried to hit stick somebody when Josh has the ball and Josh had to go out of the game. And now Mitch is in the game and I'm going to get a flood of freaking texts.
You will. That's a fact. But I feel like when you sign Mitch Trubisky, you are signing your starting quarterback's death warrant and making it to where the universe has to make Mitch play.
No, because Mitch was there before. I don't agree. I don't agree at all.
I'm hoping. I genuinely like Jordan Poyer, Gabe Davis. They seem like they lost some dudes. I don't know if they're waiting for like the discount round and they have some draft plans. I'm hoping they can re-up. Look, I am the enemy of my enemy is my friend. You know, like with not necessarily like I hate the Chiefs. I just, the story's now like who's going to be the Chiefs. So
yes.
I'm invested in that. And if it's the Bills,
agreed,
and Mitch, great. Love it. I love to see it. And again, it's not because I don't like the Chiefs. It's just they're the dynasty. They're the measuring stick. It's like the Yankees. You got to beat the Yankees, right? Like that's just what it is. Okay. That's NFL free agency. Man, I was going to ask you about Dak Prescott's sexual assault allegations, but you want to save it? You want to like do like a
I would
thing?
Like to not talk about that at all until all the facts are out, you know? So
what
those
weird,
are all alleged.
What a strange, weird story on both sides for that.
Two stories at the same time.
Yeah.
Immediately. That's what's kind of interesting about it from like a talking point perspective, is both sides were like, no, you're a liar immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. It's good PR, honestly, but I don't want anything to do with that story. So we'll keep an eye on it and probably never talk about it. But you know what we are going to talk about? Traitor season two, the finale, the season in totality. I don't have like a general specific question. I want to make a statement first and you can take it wherever you want to go.
I also have a statement on Traitors.
Okay. I have never before watched any Bravo content. I've never before watched any Bravo reunion content, but the gentleman, is it Andy Cohen? I think it's Andy Cohen.
Yes.
The gentleman who ran that reunion show is maybe the best at the thing he does that I've ever seen in any field ever. I was so impressed with him. I loved that reunion. Most reunions suck. He got interesting stuff out of people. He did like audience questions, managed the dynamics, let it get a little hot, but not too hot, cooled some stuff down. I was in awe, honestly. Like Andy Cohen is really great at what he does.
That is exactly what he does all the time. I also have never, not by like, I've got nothing against it. Watch.
Right. It's your not my
eyes,
tempo. It's okay.
Your eyes, your choice. I just have never gotten into it, but I've seen a lot of Andy Cohen clips of him lighting fires under people when he needs to, but then also reining them in and being like, I'm the star here, which is interesting. And, you know, sometimes on the challenge reunion, there's the host cannot contain the fury. Mm-hmm. Or cannot spark it in a way to make it fun and funny while also being tense. But he is just a master at it. That being said, my statement is, so I agree with your statement. I want to bring back normals in season three.
Interesting. Okay. I've seen a lot of people talking about this.
I think that mix, because Survivor is normals. Traitor season one was half and half. I think that was the most fun because there are pre-existing relationships with some of the, first of all, some of the reality stars on either season, but there's no pre-existing relationships with the normals or the normals to the celebrities, but they know who they are. I missed that mix this season. I think that that is a thing, and we can have traders normals and traders mixed and traders only celebrities, right? But I think that that mix was a dynamic. I liked season two a lot. I really love this show. I think the normals mixed in is the better play.
I think I agree. I think it's interesting because I understand why normals strategically in terms of like the game, that makes more sense. I understand why celebrities, because you, this, it's the reason it gets your attention. It's very much like movies right now. Pre-existing IP, huge deal actors attached to something, it's going to get made. Indie stuff, first time, unknowns, probably not going to get made. At the same time, I think the mix is a good blend, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. And I think I would really, I didn't realize how much the Housewives contingency was like so lockstepped. And then you also get like CT and Trishelle, which maybe it faded, maybe it didn't, or maybe it had like an ebb and a flow. But there were some real, really everybody but Survivor, there were some real like, oh, we're bonded together, so we're kind of playing in the game together. And I thought that it, it was to the game's detriment, even though it was an entertaining product, I think, for the season.
Totally agree. Entertaining product. I still recommend it. I highly recommend it. Both seasons. Please watch it. It is so interesting watching Survivor people go on these different shows, The Challenge, Traitors, etc. They're out for themselves, and it's all strategy all the time. It's all networking. Mm-hmm. People that are coming from The Challenge, where there's sometimes teams and other stuff like that, you got to have the long play. You got to know you're burning bridges. You got to have this different stuff going on. I think the mix of it is very, very fun. And for it to be happening on the Traitors like this has been very, very fun to watch. I don't know enough about the Bravo. Like, is there games? Is there winners and losers? Or is it just all drama all the time?
No, I don't either. From what I understand, there's not. And I think in the reunion, they really got into that. The aspect of, they call them gamers versus like whatever, housewives.
Yeah.
And it was such a different style, which I don't necessarily dislike because I like contrasting styles because styles make fights. But I thought, and we can kind of talk about how Traitors season two ended. So if you don't want to spoil it, go ahead and like skip forward. But it that I think that was an interesting part of how hurt and pissed MJ was with what happened, and either not anticipating something happening, not thinking in those terms, but also feeling like I just existed until the end, ergo I deserve this, when I really thought in terms of like gameplay, you didn't really do anything to deserve this.
And it directly addressed that. We have Sandra now coming out with a video saying there was a smokers crew that was Sandra, MJ, CT, and Trishelle. MJ, CT, Trishelle, and Kate.
That's right.
And Kate is now saying, I mostly vape. And Trishelle is saying, yes, we definitely had a smoker's crew, and why are you outing me like this? So those people like linked up and making it that far. Maybe Baby Billy Bayless said that it got a little predetermined at some point that those four were going to kind of stick together. I don't think it ruined the show for me. I think
and what Kate said further was like when they had smoke breaks, there was always a producer standing out there with them, not letting them do anything off camera, like game talk or strategy, which I believe because like shows are made on like those moments that are televised. So I feel like I feel like if Sandra's hypothesis is correct, MJ doesn't get cut out of the mix. But at the same time, when it ended, I thought when Trishelle's flare went red, I thought, oh crap, they're doing the Johnny Bananas, like rip your heart out gameplay, which is the smartest move. But then they lost it because Trishelle thought CT was a traitor. So it really wasn't like we're cutting you out, MJ. MJ was just the collateral damage in that equation.
Because I think that Trishelle thought that she had everything figured out all of the time, including right until the end, she was going to then turn on CT the traitor, but he wasn't a traitor, right? So she made some good things. She was correct on several things throughout the season, but then got one wrong. And that's okay. Still a winning season for Trishelle. I'll say.
Let me just double that. I was so impressed with Trishelle. I never really respected her gameplay in a lot of ways. You said she got most things right. She kind of nailed everything. And even the rationale of like, oh, CT's a traitor was based on pretty good evidence from what CT said he was going to do versus what he did. So I had no real issues. The only issue I had was MJ. If you just voted for CT, you'd be winning. But when you revote, just do it again. Because if she votes him again, you win. Yeah. But that's when I thought, oh, there's no strategic bone in your body to play this game.
I understand and I agree. I thought that the biggest thing of the season was, first of all, I love Phaedra. And Trishel had some evidence of CT being so close to Phaedra. Now Phaedra is a traitor. They know that now, you know, at a certain point, and then a couple episodes remaining. So Trishel's like, they were very chummy and friendly all season. And a CT Phaedra buddy cop miniseries or television show or movie,
yeah.
I'm all in love on that. Story. I'll watch Let's that. Go. Love story. Yeah. Let's do this. When Dan took shots at Phaedra on the way out, when Parvati took shots at Phaedra on the way out, when Kate took shots at Phaedra when Phaedra was headed out, if you become the traitors, you can't take shots at the other traitors.
Guys, come on.
Even to stay alive. It gives the faithfuls what they want. Mm-hmm. And if your back's against the wall, that's not, how does that help you in the moment? It is a last ditch effort that does not work. I did not like that Dan and Parvati and Kate did that to Phaedra. I did not like that.
Yeah, I think Parvati, she got in a situation where it was her or Phaedra. So it's like, I didn't mind it.
I understand
it.
Yeah.
Dan's, I didn't hate it. I hated the precedent it started, but like he had, when he was trying to figure out like, how do I undo all this damage I've done of like not saying anything?
Yeah. He did the damage himself to himself.
He did. He made his own bed and laid in it. And the Bergy screw up was a huge deal and really kind of spiraled all the traitors, eventually. But, yep. I think it was the smartest move in the moment for him, but it just didn't play out. I think I was a little disappointed in Phaedra, and I was a little disappointed that nobody really went at her because she played such a passive traitor game. It was always like, what do you want to do? What should you do? And she let everyone else take the heat and like make decisions. And I feel like no one talked enough about her eyelashes and the tail twitch that she did develop, which was true. Honestly amazing to see edited in.
I think there was some unkind Phaedra edits conveniently. I don't think she had a telltale twitch.
Point that you made a few weeks ago was she's wearing like 6 pounds of eyelashes. So things are going to happen.
My point. Like, I think she had a twitch. I think she had like a heavy blink because she had so much on and her eyelashes, her choice. I love her. I've strongly considered I'm not going to do it. I want to go watch her in her other environment. She seems amazing, but I'm not going to hunt that down. Does. So I want her back. Like Kate came back this for season two. I want Phaedra back for season three.
The only thing, I think if Kate had won, I would have been a little bummed.
Yes.
Because I would have felt like you're not really a traitor. You were like checkmated into becoming a traitor. And you were so out of left field that it was unfair to expect people to understand who is like the actual traitor. So I'm glad it shook out like it did. It was the right winner.
Kate was the fun, chaotic energy of season one. And they were like, you know what worked in season one? Kate, let's bring her back for season two. And I think I like that about the traitors. It's like not tongue in cheek, but it's something related to where it's like, nah, we can just do what we want whenever we want. We don't have to take this as seriously as Survivor or Big Brother or the Challenge or whatever. Like, let's just have fun and have these goofballs be goofballs together. Like it's a lesser, I want to say this as sensitively as I can for us. It's a lesser product, but it's a different, better product. It's a different product.
It's
fast casual, right?
Yes, thank you. That's a great way to say it.
It's not the high-end steakhouse that, you know, some Survivor and editing and beautiful shots and all of this. It's Qdoba.
It's like Chick-fil-A, Jimmy John's. Yeah.
Just above that, you know? So I don't know. I love it so much. It's so fun.
There was an article in the New York Times recently, and it was like a couple of days ago. It was one of the writers from Succession, and she was talking about like rethinking how she makes TV and how she writes TV because she didn't know basically everyone uses closed captioning now. And she was like, that's weird, but that's what people are doing. So I need to write towards that instead of away from it. So she was talking about just like how to change your craft to either like lean into viewing habits or like lean against it, whatever. But I think what I really appreciate about Traitors was, I think a lot of reality shows that are competitive, Survivor, Big Brother, The Challenge, it got to a point where it was like game theory-ish, and like you're really getting into nitty gritty of like statistical possibilities. I think that's a bad product. So I think the more you can get away from that, and you can have maybe less like high level strategic play, but more just like loosey-goosey variables, I think that's a really compelling TV show. And that's what Traitors accomplished to me.
I agree. And I like that. And I get that in The Challenge. That's why I like Survivor, because Survivor, you have to stab people in the back, but then they also have to vote for you later. And it's this, and you know the pattern. It's consistent. The Challenge changes their theme and gameplay, you know, every season, every other season, whatever it is. Survivor is very consistent in that. So I like having these different things. Traitors is like a mix of it. And I think it's just kind of a fun stew. I need to address, I'm not a closed caption person. So I need that on the record for this podcast, because I cannot read very fast. Mm. I don't understand, why are so many people going to closed caption? Because their ears are bothering them? What the heck's going on? Turn the volume up.
We started with the kids when they were younger. We were watching like Disney Junior or whatever. And I was like, oh, if we have the words on here and they're hearing it and they're seeing it, this will help like the reading process. I think it worked. I don't know if it did. And then I feel like, I don't know if it's the houses we've lived in or the kind of shows I've been watching, but some shows seem very resistant to like lighting or sound. So it's kind of like the onus is on you to understand what's going on. I'm thinking like Game of Thrones or Succession. And I got used to just like having on, and especially like when you're recapping or watching stuff for work, I take notes and I have closed captioning. It makes it easier. Like, oh, that's a good quote. I want to write that down. But from what I understand, like a lot of people are doing this too. And I don't really know why everyone's doing that necessarily.
It's so distracting to me. I can't have it on. I think it takes away from the product, but I understand.
If you're not careful, you are just reading the show. And
that's
not
what I'm
watching.
Saying. Like,
yeah. So it is a thing you got to get used to, but I don't mind it. I don't mind it at all.
Very interesting.
Yeah, I think that's it on Traitors. I think if I had notes for the season, I would say less. It's interesting. Let me say this. I wanted to get your sense of Sandra, because she's a huge deal in Survivor. You've never seen a season that she's played in. She's won twice. What was your perception of her just in this game?
You've told me that before. Based on this, only watching this and not having seen her in other stuff, it really felt like she was holding back or was like excited to be around these celebrities or something and didn't want to be friends with them, as opposed to crossing them and trying to win, which has been fun about Kate. Just really not caring about other people. And she kind of does, but she's clearly playing a character on the show. I don't think Sandra has that Banu or that actor in her to play some other character. She was just like, hey, we're here to play a game, so that's what I'm going to stick to. Whereas CT's being goofy, Pete's doing Pete things. Like, there's other characters on the show that are trying to like play roles, have fun, be fit into it. Sandra seemed like she was really, really holding back. Regardless of the reason why, I don't know for certain, but that's what it appeared to me.
I think that's a very interesting perceptive point of view, because
thank you.
This is how she plays every game, where she doesn't really do anything, and she just always kind of makes it to the end.
And in her two winning Survivor seasons, there wasn't like cutthroat Sandra. Like, Parvati was scared of her, but maybe she was just respecting her.
I want to be careful, because I'm sure there are people who really like Sandra and like liked her gameplay. I thought she's one of the most overrated Survivor players of all time.
But you can't say that she won twice. How could you say that?
Because I literally just did. I literally just said it with my mouth, and you heard it, and you responded to it, and that's how you know I said it. She is great at Wallflower, not stirring up trouble, and then you look up and I'm here, and it's like, what do we do with Sandra? And I was going to be really upset if she made it to the money, because I thought she was just such a non-factor. But she plays the game in a way where she always has such a point of view on what's actually happening. And I think it's never actually correct. I don't think Phaedra was protecting her. She kept calling her traitor angel. I don't think that factored into it at all. I just think Sandra wasn't in any kind of like controversial alliance. She wasn't throwing names out. She was just kind of coasting. And that's her MO. And it feels like it almost like Dan, like it feels like she's holding back or setting something up, and it just never happens. And that's Sandra on Survivor.
But that got her to 2 wins, and that got her far in this season. And nobody had a problem with her, but she didn't do anything.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so it's like, it's just very interesting.
I honestly can't understand
but
how
she seems very smart. I want to make sure that that's on the record. She can comprehend the other people around her and what's going on. It's just this, the strategy that she puts out into the atmosphere mm-hmm. and she employs is interesting, to say the least.
It is. I don't know how she screwed up the let's get Kate out of here, because everyone agreed. And then she got sketchy with CT. And I don't know if that was an editing weird thing.
Right.
But like, she went really at like CT about so much so that made her very suspicious. And I was like, man, what a fumble, because they could have been sharing the money. Okay, let's go now to our ADHD question of the week. Jason, as people probably know, but if they don't, we'll explain it. We have the monthly newsletter and our monthly paywall podcast. We have supporters behind that. We call them the DABs, the dearly and beloved supporters of that podcast and that newsletter. And they get to ask us questions on the regular that they want anybody to answer. It could be anybody in the world. We kind of phrase it and build it around a dude, husband, or dad's perspective. If they don't have access to that or don't want access to that from someone else, we want to be that person for them. So we do a couple episodes a month where we answer those, and you can get that at knoxmccoy.substack.com. Support us at the monthly or yearly level. We want to do a sample of the kinds of questions and answers that we'll get from our listeners, and that you'll hear an ADHD episode. This one is from Talisha.coolyard. I hope I said that correctly. She said, would you rather referee youth sports, middle school, or high school sports? I thought this was a really good question.
First of all, we've always called her TC for the record, so that I don't have to attempt that name.
Sorry, TC.
Great name.
That's my bad.
Great name. Just don't want to mess it up. TC, here's what I'm going to tell you. I've got a different angle on this. I don't want any of these. I don't want any of these. I don't want any of these more than I've never wanted anything in my life. I think referees, I think these parents are insane. Your kids suck. All your kids suck at sports. All of your kids suck at sports. Let's have that be the rule that everybody agrees on, because then the 1% makes it to college, and the 1% of the 1% makes it to a paid job of being in sports. That being said, can we give some permission to the youth sports, middle school sports, and high school sports refs? I want more fun colors. I don't want black and white zebra stripes. I want a clown. Neon. I want neon. I want clown hair. I want giant shoes. I want them tripping. Like, I want them to still the same rules, all that stuff. But when you see that ref, I need visual indications that are not black and white, because it has become, you see that ref, black and white, navy blue in baseball, whatever it is. And parents just, it's like a bull seeing red. So it's we need to change the visualization of the referees in these youth sports at these various levels, and just be like, look, let's have a giant thing on their thing that says like, I'm 15 years old getting paid $10 an hour.
That's it. Cause I do like the cars with the bumper stickers that say like, please be patient, I'm a new driver.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna be chill. I understand. I appreciate you let me know that. I'm going to treat you differently. I do like an idea of like, I'm 14. I'm getting $20 for this entire day. Please respect me. You know, I would push
I'm
back
making
and say,
$20, a hot dog, and one Coke. For
a supposedly grilled hot dog that is just microwaved, and we all know it, and people need to act like it.
With the bun also microwaved, it's a crazy situation.
Come on, let's have some standards. Your assertion that you want these people to have respect, and you're also saying you should wear clown hair or shoes, I don't know if you're going to accomplish both of those things at the same time.
Okay, but this is one of those times in life I'm taking a big swing. We need to dramatically change the visual to, I don't know.
Are you doing like a bee rabbit?
Is going to get me in trouble, but we need to imprint on these parents. Is that, can you say that anymore? I don't know if that's the right word or not.
I think you can. That's a Twilight term, and no one thinks that's weird.
I don't know what that means in Twilight, but.
Yeah, no, I got it. Wink. You definitely don't.
Oh, no, totally. I don't like this at all. We need
it's not a bad term. It's weird. It's a weird Twilight term, but Twilight's a weird book.
I want to be kind of weird. I want these youth refs to imprint on the parents. The parents have got to understand to chill. Okay? Now, I'm going to answer the actual question. And we have to give a visual indication. There has to be a dramatic change from what's going on now. I'm going to give an answer. I want to go as a 40-year-old man and ref some like real young kids and take it just absolutely dead serious, And like when the kids start breaking down, like giving them, teeing them up, I want to call flagrant fouls, all this stuff, like really get into it. I think that that would be very fun.
Let me just answer the question straight ahead. And then I want to go some different directions. I think if it's youth sports, middle school or high school sports, the move is middle school, because middle school is, it's one of those area and time of sports where you've got some kids who haven't hit puberty yet. You have other kids who are 8 years into puberty. So the games are not usually that close, right? I'm speaking broadly, but the officiating is not that difficult. It's a little bit about like managing physicality, because you do have someone built like a second grader going up against a guy who looks like he's run Logan's Roadhouse for 12 years. So you got to like protect that a little bit. But I think it's asking the least of your referee abilities in terms of like gauging like what's a strike, what's a ball, what's a foul, what's whatever. I think that part of me wants to say, like, we've had some experiences with girls soccer, right? My daughter played like last fall. She was, I don't know what it's called. It's like club, whatever, you know. It's not like the rec league, but it's a little different, but it's not like high level. And
rec plus, they're calling it these days.
Rec plus. That's great. That's great. Most of the time we got bad refs, right? Which is just the deal. Every now and then, there was one ref we all knew was elite. He was the best. Tony was his name.
Is.
And I don't know. I'll be still with us. If he's not, in terms of tenses, I am correct. But when we saw him, we knew the game was going to be good. The flow was going to be good. He was going to be in control. Because the problem with refs is if you don't assert control over the game, the aggressive kids know I can get away with murder. And then they get away with murder. And that's what gets the parents mad, right? So we have this alpha Tony, and we were in good hands. I would like to, I don't know if refs are like a unionized thing or whatever, but I love the idea of referees being able to set their market value. And it's like, look, this is a big game. We need Big Tony, and we're going to have to pay $500 for him, but we're going to get a great experience. Versus this is just like, this is going to be a 3-inning thing. Let's get like the 12-year-old, and like, he'll get $12 and like, we'll be in and out. I like the idea of, you know, maybe in if this year keeps going like it is, I want to become like a ref, and I can set my own rate, and I can make like a lot of money and be really good at refereeing and like chilling parents out, you know?
I like this, but it's also a risk, because if you're the parents and you pay for the better ref because you think it's going to be a good game, and then it ends up being a 3-inning blowout, mm-hmm. you took a risk.
Not my fault.
And you lost.
Fault. Yeah. You wanted the Big Tony treatment. You got it. I can't throw balls and strikes for you. I can't teach you off speed pitches. That's your problem, man.
I love that. I love that. And there's a little risk involved, but there's also an investment involved. But I think that the age of the person and what they're being paid to deal with these parents and these kids that are not good at these sports should be on the shirt. I think that's the number one solution.
Let me throw this at you. Okay. Read a lot about medieval history, right? I'm trying to remember the name. There's a person I'm supposedly related to like many, many, many generations ago. History's not even sure if he's a real person, but his name's like Niall and the Nine Hostages. He's an Irish king, and how he like got order in his kingdom was all the kingdoms that were subservient to his, he would go, they'd have a firstborn son, and he would take the son, and they would live with him, right? All nine kingdoms, their firstborn sons would live with him. And you know,
I don't know
meant?
Where this is headed, and I'm excited, or I'm very
that
nervous.
That meant stability, because I'm not going to start stuff with this guy, Niall, if he's got my son, because I want things to be cool. So I'm incentivized to keep things very cool. So I think we should have some kind of situation where a parent is like fined, you know, $500 if one of their team's parents step out of line. Because
oh,
you know
what's
going to stop real quick is that parent's going to be doing the job of managing the other people, or the coach is fined, or you get a penalty or something. You know, I feel like
I thought we were headed very quickly that your kids were going to go live with Big Tony. That's where. Okay. Is that also on the table for you? I don't know.
Probably. Got a better situation going on, you know, probably like more organized with his thoughts and his feelings. So I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. But it's a different situation than what you're talking about.
Fair enough. Parent hostages is what I'm saying. Parent penalties. I love that. Yeah.
Free market referee, capitalistic system, parent hostages, or just middle school, because it's the least amount of complexity for referees.
Or what if we just let these kids have fun and there wasn't a ref? I don't want to get into it. Okay, I do like the leagues that are like, hey, the parents can't watch the kids play. Like, that's insane. I don't know how we got there. I mean, I definitely know how we got there. But like,
I love it. I feel like in Norway, you can't speak. Like, you're not allowed to speak. And if you do, you're gone forever.
And that's probably not just for youth sports. So
yeah,
It's okay. A whole different conversation.
It's a different thing. So TC, I hope we answered your question. I think we did. Feels like we did. Okay, let's go camera close to the pin. I think you got a, I started out hot. You're out to a commanding 3-1 lead.
I mean, I don't know if going up 1-0 is hot, but that is
I started out correct. Hot, unbeaten, undefeated, unscored upon, and then you came back and got hot. Agree or disagree with that?
I think I'm on the record as disagreeing, and I'm going to stick
with that.
Those
are the orders of events. I was those very the, hot
I
for
agree
a round.
Those are the order of events. I don't know that you started out hot by winning one round.
I feel like we talked about Kate from, I guess, Below Deck, but I just know her from Traders. But I think she's from Below Deck. We talked a lot about her in this episode. She does have a cameo. Would you like to guess Kate from, is it Kate Flannery? No, it's not Kate Flannery.
I think it is.
Chastain. Sorry, Kate Chastain. That's her name. Kate Flannery is Meredith from The Office. That's a different situation.
I met her.
What was it like? What was the vibe?
Very cool. I met her and Jane Lynch.
Did you meet them and you're like, are we doing this? Are we boning? Or was it just like, hey,
no.
Nice to meet you.
God.
I'm just asking.
I was at my wife's holiday party at a hotel bar, and then they finished up. They were performing in a show in town, and then they were also at the bar.
I like that the guy who was trying to hook up with the wedding coordinator at my wedding is a little off put with
I was
the question.
Not trying to hook up with her.
Okay, sure. Let's check the text, man. Let's check the text. So Kate Chastain from Below Deck from Trader Season 2
and Season 1.
Yeah, and Season 1. I feel like I'm making this way more complicated because you're in my head.
Yeah, I am.
So I'm trying to be.
Maybe you can get hot again.
Don't do that. Don't do that. I've got my number. I've written it down. What? Let me talk through my rationale. She seems.
Do you
like
want me
person.
To say my number first so that you don't accuse me?
I don't
want to
get accused if I win.
You've so written it down.
I've written it down. It's on my hand right now. Yeah. Tell me your number.
199.
Okay. I'm 189.
Oh, for yes. I think it's 200, but I had to make a decision. I thought you were going to go 201.
See, I was dancing around that, and then I was like, no, go lower. But then I thought, I just don't see her like going 225, 250. That feels like too much. It feels like we're always
I can definitely see that with this person. I'm so happy to have the higher number. I'm willing to lose. I'm so happy to have the higher number.
It's tough because I don't think Below Deck is a big deal. I think Traders is a bigger deal, but it's not as big as I feel like it is.
I think Below Deck is probably a bigger deal than Traders even right now. Below Deck has like mini versions and seasons and all this.
That's probably true. I do regret not going higher. I think
that is an excruciating show to watch for me, by the way.
My numbers, did I say my number? I'm 189.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah. Should we redo? Are you feeling like a redo? Like,
no, I could see all 175 right. Very easily. So
Kate Chastain.
I was almost 176.
You can have her for 175.
Dang
it. Maybe we should have revoted. She says only 5 videos left. I don't know what that means. Like, she's only doing 5
limited
more,
supply?
And then retiring?
Hey, you're hot. You're hot again.
Hot again. Everyone's saying it. They're like, gah. The flames coming off the basketball NBA Jam style right now. She's just recently done one, too, for Morgan. 5 stars. Best birthday present ever. She knows I exist, exclaims my grown daughter after watching the video. That was a good hezzy hey. That was a good hezzy hey review. It had me. Good job, Morgan. Sure you're a listener. Okay. Well, your boy's hot. It's probably a good time to end before it gets worse for you. And we do Kate Flannery. That's going to do it for this episode of Our Underachievers. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for being here. The best way to help the show is to spread the word on social media. So if you want to throw us a link or just shout us out, that would be super helpful. As always, I'm Noxy Jason. See you next time.